Check, check.
Well, good evening. Why don't we all kind of find a place to sit? Welcome to our evening session. We're glad that you've come. This morning was awesome. We had a great teaching on the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. It was really good. So we're just going to wait till everyone comes in, and then pretty soon the worship team's going to lead us in some worship. Isn't it great that God is a God who gives gifts, right? He's like a father, right? I mean, I know I'm a father. I want my kids to have the things that are the very best for them. And sometimes the very best for them, what I think the very best for them is, isn't always the same things that they think would be the very best gifts, right? But that's why we're fathers. And that's why we're mothers. We know what the better gifts are. God gives good gifts to his kids, right? Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. That's good. We got a joke in our house a little bit. There's this commercial on TV for this thing that's called the Acorn Stairlift. You've seen them before? They are very cool. Like, I want one of these things. You can put them on the bottom of your stairs, and you never need to walk up the stairs again. You just sit on it, and it just takes you up. And I say to Crystal, we got to get one of these. These are awesome. These are great. She says, you're never going to get one of those. You need to walk the stairs, because that's what's really good for you. So even my wife knows what are a good gift, or what a good gift would be for me. Sometimes what we think would be a good gift, they're not good gifts at all. I'm just thankful for the teaching this morning and the reminder that the good gifts come from God. And what he gives us for a specific purpose. He gives us for the body. He gives us so that we can be used in building the church and in proclaiming the good news. We heard this morning about how important it is just to be able to go from Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And sometimes we want to go to the ends of the earth, but we haven't even gone to Judea yet. Right? Judea is right next door, right across the hall from you. If you can't go to Judea, if you can't talk to your neighbor, you're not ready to go to Nigeria. Right? Okay, we're ready for this. We're going to just pray together. Let's ask for God to bless. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. I just sent you here right now. Thank you that you are a pure and a perfect Father. And for the teaching that we've already learned and for what we're about to hear tonight, we give you thanks. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, we just bind the enemy so that the truth can be proclaimed and that it can be received in our hearts. And in the name of Jesus, we pray that our hearts would be soft right now, that we'll be ready to receive, that our hearts will be open, and that you will touch us. We ask you, we invite you to lead us today by your Holy Spirit. Would you just touch our hearts exactly in the spot and the place where we need to be touched today? You know whether we need to be encouraged or instructed or challenged. And we just say to you tonight, have your way. Have your way. You are Jesus. You are the light. Let your light shine. And so as we worship you, we enter into your presence. And we just desire more of your presence. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We want to draw. We just want to draw near to you. We want to feel your big, powerful arms around us and experience the comfort and the peace that you give. We want to open our hearts and praise you. We agree together tonight that you are worthy of our praise. You are a good, good Father. You are holy. We just say thank you tonight. We worship you. We exalt your name. We proclaim the goodness of God. And we remind each other that we're loved. Loved forever and loved no matter what. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way here tonight. We ask this in the name, in the powerful name, the beautiful name of Jesus. And all the people said, amen.
Sing on. Feel empty and dry, he can fill us. So let's sing it out tonight. 'Cause we know you. you if there's some songs that we sing tonight that you haven't experienced yet, some of these truths, I want you to ask the Lord, can I experience that, Lord? Can I experience your presence in a deeper way? Can I experience your love that is unconditional, so kind and merciful? When I mess up, I don't have to run, but I can come to you, Lord. Because it says in your word that you are close to the brokenhearted. A broken and contrite heart you cannot deny. And when we're broken, when we feel weak and fragile, we don't have to hide in shame because of that weakness, but we can actually draw our strength from you, Lord. So I thank you that in this room you are doing something that is so much deeper than we see right now, that is so much greater than we see right now, and your plan is for eternity, God. And so I pray that tonight you would deposit your presence and your spirit within us so deeply.
Come like fire, come like oil, come like winds, come.
So just as she was singing that chorus about come like oil, come like rain, come like wind, I saw this picture, and it was oil being poured out in the room. And it was this anointing oil. And the phrase that I heard in my head from the Lord was, I've chosen them. I've chosen them. And I feel like some of you in the room tonight haven't felt chosen. You haven't felt that anointing from the Lord. You haven't felt like He's chosen you. But tonight, I feel like He's saying, if you feel like that, tonight He's saying, I choose you. I've chosen you. I've anointed you. I'm pouring out my oil. Just like Samuel, when he went to find a new king for Israel, he looked for the tallest. He looked for the most handsome. But God said, no, it's not him. And he went through all the brothers. And then it was David, who wasn't even invited to come. Nobody believed that David could be the chosen one. But God saw his heart. God saw what man did not see. God sees your heart, and He has chosen you. He's chosen you. There are ones of you here who haven't believed that. And tonight, He's speaking to your heart, and He's saying, son, daughter, I choose you. When nobody else did, when nobody else saw, right now, tonight, I choose you. I choose you. So just put out your hands. If you're really feeling that, just put out your hands to receive that anointing from the Lord, to receive that truth that He's chosen you tonight. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come like oil. Come like that anointing oil and show us that we're chosen by you. Show us that we're chosen by you tonight. Come like oil.
What's worship without knowing you, God? to go along with that, I was also feeling like in the room, like maybe some of you feel unseen. The Lord gave this to me earlier. I feel like He just wants you guys to know tonight that He sees your love for Him. I actually feel like maybe some people in the room, maybe you're sitting in some shame or some guilt. Maybe from the past, maybe from the present. And I feel like the Lord just wants to shake that off tonight. He just wants to shake off some heaviness, some things that have maybe been bogging us down, some things that have been weighing us down. And He wants you to know that He sees your love for Him. Like Marcy said, you are chosen. He looks at you and He's chosen you, and He looks at you and He says, that one loves me. That one loves me. That small act of love, I see that. I feel like He wants to reassure your heart tonight that He sees the love that you pour out for Him. That nobody else sees the small acts of love that you don't even recognize are love are seen by Him, you guys. So again, I just want to invite you, as we continue in worship, put out your hands. And if you want to shake off some of that heaviness, if you want to shake off some of those things from your past, shake it off tonight, guys. Don't sit in the heaviness, okay? Don't sit. Shake it off. Begin to stir up your spirit. Stir up some joy. He enters in through our praises. Heaviness leaves through our praises. Hey, shake it off as we continue. Set your eyes on Him. Set your focus on Him as we praise Him. He loves you and He sees your love. I want you to rest in that. Focus in that. I love Him and I am loved by Him. I love Him and I am loved by Him. Repeat that out loud. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. Say it till your heart believes it. Some of us need to remind ourselves of that He sees the love that we have for Him. So as we continue. And we just declare that together, Father, that better is one moment with you. Better is one touch from you. One word of your love can change everything. It changes our focus. It changes our hearts. It changes our minds. We just say we love you. You're the reason why we're here. You're our purpose for living. There's no better reason for living than you. And we just refocus our hearts on you this evening. And we just declare we love you. We love you. And we just receive your love back tonight. That we are your beloved. We are your children. That is our identity. We are not orphans. We are welcomed into your kingdom. We're so grateful for the greatest gift of all, of salvation. Thank you that that changes everything, that you've changed everything for us. We just say that we love you tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. You guys want to go ahead and grab your seats. Are sensing some of those things going on in the room, the Lord speaking to your heart personally? A few of us. Yeah. Good. Yeah, well, I feel like he's going to continue some of those things as the evening goes on. We've been with you guys for a couple services now. How many of you were with us earlier today? Okay, so quite a few. How many of you, this is your first time maybe meeting us and our team? We're from the Global Prayer House. Few people. Cool. Okay. Well, for those of you who weren't here, my name's Janine, and I'm a part of this team. We're here from the Global Prayer House, which is in Medicine Hat, Alberta. And so we're honored to be able to be here with you guys. This is our second year in a row coming. We came last December. Were any of you here last December? Yeah, quite a few people. Cool. We absolutely love you guys. And one of the reasons why we love you guys is that you guys have the same mandate as us, which is directly from the Bible. Love the Lord your God first and foremost with all your heart, and then love other people. And if we do that, that's when everything else comes into alignment, when our hearts are set and focused on Him. So at the Global Prayer House, the main thing that we facilitate is a prayer room. And that's a place where we realign our hearts with the Lord. We pray for different spheres of society. How many of you have ever seen a prayer answered in your life? Everybody, pretty much. Cool. What I've noticed personally in my life is that when I don't pray for a specific area within my personal life or something going on around me, I probably won't see a breakthrough. But when I start to pray for specifics, that's when I see specific answers from the Lord. So spending time in prayer, being a person of prayer, is one of my goals. Mostly because it changes me. When I begin to pray, it changes who I am. It changes maybe not my circumstances, but it changes my heart and it changes my focus. So I want to encourage you guys in that. Be people of prayer. That's our heart from the Global Prayer House, and it's the Lord's heart. It's not just us as a ministry. It's the Lord's desire for us that we would connect with Him through prayer. So one of the other things, just to share with you guys a little bit of what we do, I shared earlier about how we run events also. We run schools, we run Sunday mornings. There's about 40 of us on staff at the Global Prayer House. This is just a portion of us from down there. We have an upcoming women's conference, February 8th to 10th, which I mentioned earlier, so I wanted to re-invite you guys to that. It's February 8th to 10th. If you have any questions about that, you can chat with us at the back. But we're really looking forward to what God's going to do. He's going to encounter us again, touch our hearts, speak to us. But I want to focus more so tonight and just share with you guys a little bit about our schools and our internships, which personally have changed my life. But I wanted to show you a quick video about it, and then I'll tell you a little bit more about it. If you guys want to hit that.
We are closer together now more than any time in human history. Yet, we are alone. We have a longing to be known, to be seen, searching for answers to the questions of life deep within our hearts. We are searching for what the world has to offer, but we are looking in all the wrong places. Purpose, the reason to our existence. Significance, where our identity is found. Everyone is searching for this, and it is now being found by a generation rising from the ashes into a new beauty, into a new glory, found in God. It can only be found in the presence of the one who created all things, where we are the closest to the Father. This movement of people is driven by a new vision, a new calling. No matter where we are in the world, no matter where we go, we will live to know God and to make Him known.
We are closer together, not more than
any
time in
history. Pause that, just looping.
Okay,
so that is our pursuit internship. So the theme of our school is the pursuit of God while touching the nations. And that includes our own nation. So what it is, just to give you a picture, is it's a 5-month long school where the first 3 months focuses on the first and greatest commandment, which we talked about, loving the Lord your God with all your heart. And so for 3 months, we're here in Canada. And you guys have a heart for local ministry, for impacting our city, being trained and equipped to evangelize. And that's what we focus on, is training and equipping you for 3 months to first fall in love intimately with the Lord. Because it's from that place that you can really overflow. And for me, that's what happened when I took this school, was I was in a really poor place before I went down and took it. My health had gone down the drain. The doctors didn't have answers for me emotionally, spiritually, physically. I couldn't hold down a full-time job anymore. I would sit in my basement. I was depressed. I was isolating myself. And I went and I took this school, and I gained back a passion for life. I kid you not, a couple months into the school, all of a sudden the Lord was stirring on my heart. I had gone through inner healing. I was receiving more peace and more freedom. I was internally being changed. And all of a sudden, I wanted to go out onto the streets. It wasn't a, I have to, or I'm being told by my leaders to do this. I was like, I'm not going to wait for my team. I was like, this weekend I'm going to the grocery stores. I'm going to go talk to people about Jesus. And I tried. And it was weak, but I did it. And that's where it began, is I began to be able to, right within my own community, evangelize to people, to pray for people, to see people healed, to see God touch people right in front of me. And then the last 2 months of the school is where we go overseas and we put into practice everything that we've cultivated for 3 months and really solidify a lifestyle, a foundation of love for the Lord. And we preach the gospel, we heal the sick, we walk in the power of God. We encounter thousands of people. These schools have ministered to over 35,000 people. They've seen over 4,000 notable miracles and healings. And what this 5 months does, and what it did in me, is that it cultivated a lifestyle of passion for Jesus. Because how many of you want to be on fire for Jesus, not just after a weekend, but forever? Yeah. And guys, I took this school 3.5 years ago, and I've just been growing and growing and growing and growing ever since. It doesn't stop, and I will never stop growing. I'm on fire for Jesus. And that's what this school cultivates for 5 months. And it's for people of all ages. And so I want to encourage you, if this is something that kind of is stirring on your heart or even just intrigues you or you have more questions about it, we want to help equip you and train you to even come back here and help facilitate what God is doing in this city, to be confident in love for Jesus, desiring and wanting to see your nation and your city shift for Jesus. We want to partner with what you guys are doing here. So if this is something that even interests you, you can chat with us. We have more information at our booth. All of us here have testimonies of what God has done in our lives through it and what He's cultivated. So I'll leave that with you. But we're going to transition now into teaching for the night. So I'm going to invite Sarah Daw to come on up. How many of you were here this morning? Okay, maybe half of us or so. Okay, so this morning Sarah taught on the gifts and the Spirit. So tonight we're going to continue and we're going to be talking about healing. So Sarah is on the senior leadership at the Global Prayer House, her and her husband. They're from Ontario. They have 3 children. She'll probably share a little bit more about that. And I love Sarah. She has mentored me. She's walked with me. She has such a heart for people. And she cares so deeply, but has such a wisdom and knowledge of within her walk with the Lord of things that she's walked through, and a teacher's heart to be able to impart that and disciple to people. So I'm excited for what God's put on her heart for tonight. So do you guys want to help me welcome her up?
Janine. I always get these two mixed up constantly. So our worship leader, who enjoyed worship tonight? Was it amazing? It was incredible, right? But I always call Janine, and I always call Janine. We have a lot of J's on our team. We've got Janine, Joel, Johnny, and Jaren and June. So we're the J team. We're the Jesus team, right? Amen. Well, this morning was awesome. I really want to say that I was impacted by you guys and how hungry you are. And your tenderness to the Lord is something that's rare. And I don't know what you've been cultivating, Stan, and your wife here, Crystal, yes. Right, you guys work together. You're one, right? I don't know what you guys have been cultivating here, Crystal and Stan, but it's his heart. I actually have a word for you, Stan, if that's okay. I was just praying and asking the Lord. And what I got for you was Matthew 14:14. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. And so I really feel like for you, Stan, and your wife, and your whole ministry, that you guys have touched the Lord in a special way. But it's something we were chatting earlier about you being called from even 10 years old into ministry. But those decades of cultivating his hand and his heart has really left an impact on the Lord. And with what I'm about to say, what I'm about to give you guys at the beginning of this message, I really feel is directly connected to you, Stan. And of course, because it's connected to you guys, I really believe it's for all of you. But there's a move of God that's coming that is more powerful, and you know of it, Stan, and a lot of you here know of it, or we have an inclination of the move, the next revival that God's bringing. But there's a sense of compassion and humility that you've cultivated. Your heart and your church is ready with new wineskins to carry the move of God. When it's like almost like the Lord is just saying, again, the Samuel thing, I looked to one, I looked to the other, I looked to the other brother and the other brother, but I found somebody who was hiding in the obscure places. And the Lord just says, I see you. I see your church. I see your people. And I am, when that time comes and I am releasing that revival across the world, your church is ready. Your church is ready. You guys have a heart that carries, a heart that carries. And so for you, Stan, Matthew 14:14. Even, I just feel like the Lord's like, look up the number 14. Lord, maybe there's something more connected to that, maybe not. But yeah, in terms of healing, so this is a whole like equipping weekend, right? We're talking about the spiritual gifts, and if you weren't here this morning, I'll introduce myself. Like Janine gave a little bio of me, but we've been in ministry now for 10 years, just following God like crazy. Like, we were not like pre-ministry trained people. We just kind of went, and, you know, we had a baby. She was a 1.5, but I have a picture of my family currently. We now have 3 kids. We've been in ministry now for 10 years. And so there's myself and my husband, Ryan. He's a creative director at our ministry. Anything you see promotional-wise or anything that you'd see presenting our prayer house publicly or on media. And he's a builder and stuff, so he built all kinds of stuff at the base. We do that together. And then my oldest in the middle is Nevaeh. She's currently 10. And then my blondie, Malachi, blue eyes. He's 7, going to be 8. And then my youngest, Caden. He's so sweet. I still baby him, even though he's five. He's going to be five soon. So there's our family. And doing ministry is a crazy ride. I said to the crew that was here earlier, if you weren't part of that, I'll just give you a briefing. Like, I grew up in the church, but man, my heart is get down in the dirt with people, get out on the street, get in the suburban, get in the urban setting, get into the soup kitchens, get into the drug houses. I mean, this whole summer, well, let me just say this. I grew up in the church, but I walked away really quick because I didn't experience the power. I didn't experience the power of his love. I didn't experience the power of a heart transformation. I didn't experience the power of relationship or the power of his gifts and the supernatural. So I just was really easy for me to walk away. And the Lord grabbed me, he pulled me back. He's so good like that, right? He's like the hound of heaven. He just comes after you, and he can sniff you out. He gets you. And it's his love, right? But, you know, he grabbed me, and I just said, God, I want everything real. I know it's not going to be perfect, God, you know, and I know it's not going to be instant, but if it can't be authentic, I don't want it. So that was my call. But with that, I'm like, I want to go after everything. So if there's an opportunity to pray for somebody for healing, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go crazy after this. And I'm going to, like, if there's an opportunity to do prophecy, I'm going to step out. So I'm always the guy that's like, okay, let's try word of knowledge. And then I throw it out there and it's like, fail, you know, like in front of 100 people. But I'm trying, right? God actually honors when we try. And so this morning we talked about the fruit. And we briefly touched on the gifts in preparation for tonight. But tonight, we're going to go after, of the 9 main gifts, the supernatural gifts that the Holy Spirit works through us, we're going to go after healing. Who's prayed for somebody for healing before? Yes, a lot of us. Who needs healing in some way, shape, or form physically? Okay. And so we're going to go after that tonight. We're going to do a bit of an equipping. I'm going to talk for a little bit, but I talked to Pastor Stan and Crystal, and we're actually going to equip you guys to carry through a lifestyle of supernatural healing ministries. And really some practical tips on just how to administer that in a group setting like this. So if you guys have guests come in, I heard you guys get a lot of people just coming in and visiting. Is that right? Just coming right in off the street. What's going on here? Let's check it out. So that's awesome. So God's calling you. He wants you to be his witness, not me. He wants you to be the witness for the people that are coming in on a regular basis. And God's got an amazing, crazy ride for you, full of wild love and wild power, exhilarating. Did you know that we were made to be fascinated? You can't deny it. As a matter of fact, maybe some of you have a testimony of chasing after addictions and drugs and the euphoric things of, you know, all kinds of opiate drugs just because you want to be fascinated. There's something in your heart that feels a sense of medicated state when we chase after things that are fascinating. That's why social media is so powerful. That's why, you know, the drugs and the alcohol scene and the party scene is so powerful. Things like sexual immorality is so powerful. All of these things is because our hearts are made to be fascinated. But the problem in the church is that we actually aren't seeing that fascination come to fulfillment. Not because we don't want it. I'm not bashing the church in any way, shape, or form. But God is saying far and wide, this dispensation, this time in history, I am doing the Acts 2 reality. I am pouring out my spirit on my sons and my daughters, and the next great wave of God is not going to be one man or one woman administering the supernatural of God. It's going to be all of us. Oh, my goodness. Amen. Amen. So God needs you. If you ever felt like, God, you were inadequate, let me tell you, that's a lie. God needs you to step out in faith. Even if you stumble, even if you don't see an immediate result, God wants you to step out in all of the gifts. And so let me read this to you to start. Who's heard of the man Smith Wigglesworth? Oh, you have. Come on. This man, World War II, crazy, wild, faith-filled man full of signs and wonders and miracles. Listen to this. This is so crazy. Here's a word given by Smith Wigglesworth to Lester Summerall in 1939. You ready for this? Smith says to Lester, this is World War II is ready to break out right at this time in history, okay? This is almost 100 years ago, okay? Before he knows of, they know of anything that's happened in the world that we know today. World War II is about to break out, and with tears rolling down his face, Smith cries out to Lester and says, I probably won't see you again now. My job is almost finished. And as he continues to cry out to God, and he's talking to Lester, he says, I see it. I see it. And his tears are rolling down his face. And Brother Summerall says, what do you see, Smith? What do you see? And he goes, I see a healing revival coming. Right now, after World War II, it's going to be so easy to get people healed. I see it. I see it. He goes, I'm not going to be here for it, but you will be, Lester. And there was a healing revival right after World War II. And then check this out. And then he continues to prophesy in prayer. And he says, I see another one, Lester. I see another one. It's all different denominations being filled with the Holy Ghost. And that was the charismatic revival, the Toronto outpouring, the Vineyard movement. I see it, a charismatic revival. And then he says, God raised up people during that era, like the full gospel businessmen. Who knows about that movement, right? And then Brother Wigglesworth continued, and I see another move of God. I see auditoriums full of people coming with notebooks. There's going to be a wave of teaching on faith and on healing. We didn't experience that wave, he saw. And we call it the Word of Faith movement. And then lastly, he prophesied one more time. This is pre-World War II, 1939. And he's sobbing. He goes, I see a last day revival. He says, I see a revival, and it's going to usher in the precious fruit of the earth, and it's going to be the greatest revival the world's ever seen. And it's going to be a wave of the gifts of the Spirit. The ministry gifts will be flowing on this planet Earth. And I see hospitals being emptied out. Yes. And they'll bring the sick to church where they'll allow the Holy Ghost to move. I want to talk to you today about healing. You know, we said there's nine gifts of the fruit of the Spirit, and there's also nine wicked characteristics, I guess you could say, of the human sinful nature, that these oppose each other. And there's nine gifts of the Spirit that you can break down into three general categories. Gifts that reveal something, here's what they are. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. You don't want to miss tomorrow morning. We're going to talk about those three. Can you bring a friend with you, if you know a friend? Call up a few people, a few brothers and sisters in your church. God wants to equip with words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and words of discernment. But then there's gifts that say something. They're a gift of tongues, personal tongues, public tongues. There's the gift of prophecy, which is hearing the heart of God and translating it to others, what he's going to act, think, what he thinks, acts, or feels, or is going to do towards us. And then there's the interpretation of tongues. But lastly, there's this really cool section of gifts that God wants you to be part of in this last day revival as well, and it's the gifts that do something. It's the gifts of working of miracles. I believe with all my heart that God is going to break out in signs and wonders like we've never seen before. Oh my goodness. God is on the move with this. And these other gifts that do something is going to be the gifts of faith. Not just faith, I believe in God, and I assert that he's real and he's good and he's going to move. Not just faith to believe for a few dollars, but a supernatural Peter stepping out of the boat kind of faith, and you and you and you. And someday there's going to be a need, and everybody's going to go, whoa, the chasm is too far. And one of you is going to step up and go, I'll jump it. I have an idea. Why don't we try this? And it's going to sound absurd. It's going to sound impossible. But doesn't the... Maybe I forgot. I don't know. But the word says, I can do some things in Christ who strengthens me. Doesn't it? What? It doesn't? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And one of you will step out in a supernatural gift of faith, and that will be the answer to see the working of the miracle that you guys are waiting for. And last but not least, God is going to do all kinds of healings through you and I. So today we're going to talk about healing. And you know what? God is no less committed to healing today than he was in Jesus' day when he walked the earth for 3 years in ministry. I would say he couldn't be any more committed, because his commitment is so full and so present that it would be absolutely outside of his nature to not apply the best that Jesus had, if not more. Because it says in the word that Jesus said, we are going to do greater miracles or greater things than the things that he did walking on the earth. And he wasn't talking about a more grand miracle. He wasn't talking about, you know, the seas were parted, so in our day we get to see, you know, the outer stratosphere open up. What he meant was, I'm one. But now you're going to see a billion of me multiplied in signs and wonders and miracles and healings. And so the healings that we have offered to us today is part of what God wants to move in this last day reality. And not every one of us is going to see, okay, I'm just going to be really real. Not every single one of us is necessarily going to see the dead raised, or a leg grow out, or an arm that isn't there become an arm. Yes, we're going to see his. Amen. But we are all called to pursue it. The Bible says, do not be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, my friends. Which means don't stand back passively and just talk about them. Actively pursue them. And that's all of the gifts. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, but especially in 12 and 14, that we're to step out because God has dispersed to each one the working of gifts, and to each one at the necessary time. Remember I said, oh, some of you weren't here, I said this morning that all the fruits of the Spirit are for now, for a state of being, but it's the gifts that are circumstantial. So you're not going to operate in all of them perfectly like Jesus did all the time, all at once, but together we will be a type of Christ operating so powerfully because of our faith that we will see your miracle pop out, sir, in the back with the red that you're waiting for. We will see your miracle pop out. Over time, we will see your miracle pop out. Together, if we pursue it, we will see a demonstration of Jesus and a definition of Jesus that the world has never seen before. Because the world's not waiting for a new definition of Christianity. They're waiting to see it through our lives in a new and a fresh way. So this is for all of us. It says in Mark 16, you can turn there if you have your Bibles, Mark 16, 17 and 18. Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they're going to cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The gifts of healing is a primary expression of the preaching of the gospel, and it is time as witnesses to rise up and say, let's do the see and the do. Let's do the see, and then we'll see the miracle happen, and then it will be done, and then God will do the work in people's hearts. We're so used to preaching the gospel and waiting for the miracle to happen. But God says it's the other way around. I want a demonstration of the gospel because that's going to open a door for the gospel, and then we're going to preach and do the gospel. It's time. It is so time. I want to build up faith in you guys. Now, you already got it, man. You guys got way more faith than I do, I feel like. This is crazy. This is awesome. James 5 says, if there is anybody sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. God is releasing gifts of healings. And in this scripture verse, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, there's many kinds of healings Paul is talking about. Healings of inner wounds connected to hurt. There's deliverance kinds of healings. We're connected to bitterness sometimes, connected to demonic forces. We have, or generational curses. We have illnesses in our bodies. There's progressive healings that God is releasing through this that Paul is talking about. Daily, I've been praying over the back of my neck for a slightly bulged disc to go back into place. And you know what I do? Just like Jesus, before he broke the bread and he blessed it and he raised his hands to heaven, he said, thank you, God. I've been waking up. Thank you, God. I bless my neck in Jesus' name, and I thank you for the full restoration, God, that you are moving that disc back into place, and you're restoring the alignment of the back of my neck and the curvature in it, and I bless my body, and I raise my hands to heaven, and daily I am walking in a progressive healing in my life, believing also for the miracle, but never giving up on the progressive healing for my life. And then, of course, there's the instantaneous that Paul is talking about, the workings of miraculous healings that happen outside of our ability to explain it from a doctor, to explain it from a medical perspective, and to explain it from anything that we could possibly say or do to make it happen. That's called a miracle of healing, people. Has there anybody that's experienced a miracle of healing in their body from a disease? I know there was, oh my God, really? Oh my Lord, thank you, Jesus. There was a woman I talked to, she runs a soup kitchen, and the Lord healed her of a disease just like that. I was so amazed by that. We typically, guys, think of healing in terms of the physical body only, but it's super important for us to recognize that these gifts of healings, God is looking at you and I as a whole being, spirit, soul, and body. This is really important to understand when it comes to healing. You see, in the Hebrew day, with Hebrew sort of perspective on things, they didn't view the human person just as a body with mind, will, and emotions like we do in the Western world. They saw them as a spirit being first, and then a soul, and then a body. And they were all interconnected. It was the whole man perspective. And so when we go into practicing healing together and pursuing that with all of our heart, we need to see each other like that. First of all, we see each other as the new man, the way Jesus sees us in full glory a billion years from now. We need that new Christian perspective of each other. But secondly, when we are going to ask God for healing, we're not isolating just the physical part of their body that needs healing. We're going, oh, they are a whole being, and the Holy Spirit is right there inside of them. So I'm just going to pray and connect to my God, who also lives in them, and ask Holy Spirit to begin to infuse that oil that Marcy talked about, that oil of healing from the inside out. And we need to begin to pay attention to people, not just as an outer shell with a personality and mind, will, and emotions. Because when we begin to see beyond the natural realm, I have a teaching back there, the five spiritual senses walking in the supernatural realm. When we begin to see from that supernatural perspective, the unseen realm, that thing we can't see with our physical eyes, but our spiritual eyes can pick up and perceive, we will be more in tune with what the Lord is doing and how the Lord wants to heal that particular person. Because it's not just a one-way cookie-cutter move, right? How many of y'all prayed over somebody and you just say, God, heal them in Jesus' name? Everybody. We all have, right? But the Lord's actually saying, no. That's good. Let's practice that. But would you just look at me? You know, my son, Malachi, and my son, Cade. You ever, any moms in here, or you see moms with babies? Your little baby, right? How many times, let me ask you this, how many times you've been trying to have a conversation, an adult conversation, and your son or daughter's like, would you just, like, look at me? My son, Malachi, all the time, I couldn't have a conversation for 2 years with anybody. Because he'd be on my hip. As soon as I started a conversation with somebody, an adult especially, he would jump up in my arms. He would grab my face. And I wasn't allowed to look at the other person. I was trying to grab my attention. And I'd be like, okay, just hang on a second, honey. And then I'd look back and he'd be like, just look at me, Mom. Look at me. And he just wanted my eyes. He just wanted my eyes. And right now, in the gift of healing, the Holy Spirit is saying to you, would you just look at me? Don't be distracted by everything that's going around you. Don't be intimidated by what needs to be done in the person's life or their body. Would you just look at me? Would you just dial down, realize I'm inside of you, and I've got some instructions for you on how to carry this out in faith. And so that's the Hebraic view of life and paradigm. But the bottom line with that is, and as we move into this, what I want you to remember is we have to enlarge our thinking. Just simply open up our thinking about what healing really is. God loves and desires to heal our bodies, but he desires as well to grab it from a whole healing perspective. So you have to remember, sometimes underneath the surface of the physical pain that people are suffering, maybe they just need a little bit of inner healing with that. So we need to be in tune to hear and translate God's voice so that we can operate in the greatest amount of pressure. And who's our healer? Right. And he was wounded for our? He was bruised for our? His chastisement was for our peace. And by his stripes we are? That sounds like a whole person kind of healing to me, doesn't it? Amen. You guys really know your word here. Well done, Pastor Stan. That's so cool. And your wife. Oh, why are we laughing? Does your wife do most of the teaching? All right. Sickness is wide enough to include many other gifts of spiritual deliverance or inner healing as well. So what I want to talk to you guys about is the grace that God's releasing on you and I, even tonight, for supernatural healing for our physical bodies, where he's going to bypass the natural process of healing, and we're going to believe for miracles tonight. Can we have faith for that? Amen. Amen. The Lord has promised this unprecedented outpouring, and we need to pursue it. It says that in Matthew 24, Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. It also says in Mark 6:12, I'm just going to read off two scripture verses real quick to you. Mark 6:12-13, he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And then they went out and they preached that people should repent. But with that, they cast out many demons, they anointed many with oil who were sick, and they healed them. And Luke 9:11 says that he received them and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And in that teaching of the kingdom of God, guess what? He healed those who had a need of healing. Why did Jesus heal? There's a lot of reasons. Number one, he healed to glorify the Father. On numerous occasions, Jesus told those he had healed not to tell anybody, but to worship God. Why? You know what? God is jealous to receive glory. It is so tempting when you see a spiritual gift actually work to be like, whoa. And then the person's crying. You're like, thank you. And you're like, you're welcome. But you're like, no, like Jesus. But you're like, you're welcome. And you walk away and you're like, guess what I did? It's totally cool to share in the glory with God. But remember, the glory is not for you to keep. We can't contain the glory. Only God can. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. But he's so gracious, he lets us share in it. Why did Jesus do it? Number two, the fruit of divine healing is worship to God. It's worship to heal. That's kind of cool. As a matter of fact, all the gifts and operations are an act of a lifestyle of worship towards him. Number three, Jesus healed to validate his claim that he was the Christ, the Messiah. But let me say this, the gifts did not end with the apostles. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Whew. We'd be a lot of sick people hanging out, wandering around in the dark. Where are you, God? Where are you, God? But he's here today in full operation. Amen. He said this, tell John the Baptist, who was about to get his head cut off, because John was wondering. Remember John the Baptist? He had his own disciples. He was making the way before the Lord. But he's about to get his head cut off. And Jesus is somewhere over there on the other side of the city. John's somewhere over in some other town or whatever, about to get his head cut off. It's really gruesome. Going to get his head cut off. I'll say it one more time. He was going to get his head cut off. That's real. And he goes to his disciple, go find Jesus. Ask him if he's actually the Messiah. He just needed to know because he knew he was about to die. He was going to move on to his graduated life in heaven. And he goes, I just need to know. I've lived my whole life for this one reality. Are you actually the Messiah? And what did Jesus say to the disciple of John? He says, go tell John the lame walk, the blind see, the lepers are cleansed, and the dead are raised. Blessed are those who are not offended because of me. Oh, I'm the Messiah, John. I'm the Messiah. You better believe I am the Messiah. I'm here to heal my people. And number four, Jesus healed. Why? Out of a relationship with the Father. You know, he said, I just want to do whatever I see my Father doing. It's our business. It's the family business, guys. Connect to God around the round table in heaven and get the counsel of God through prayer. We tell him what he tells us to tell him. We ask him what he asks us to ask him from the word. And then we go and we do it. That's the family business. I couldn't think of a better career to give my life to than this. What a cool opportunity. He also healed to demonstrate his compassion and his mercy for multitudes. And when Jesus went out and he saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion for them and he healed their sick. I got to say this. I've prayed for a lot of people for healing, and I didn't see them get healed. Or at least to the degree that I was believing for, even. But guess what happens every single time? They feel the presence of Jesus in a way that's supernatural. It's so crazy. The compassion that comes out through healing is a ministry all on its own. To see somebody wounded and to say, that's injustice. God, heal that man. And to do it from a heart of love actually opens a door, whether they get healed or not, for the gospel. It's so crazy. It's so awesome. Jesus healed in response to faith. He healed. Why? Because it was a demonstration of faith. James says, you show me your faith by what you say, and I'll show you my faith by what I do, and let's see how far both of us go. The fact that you do step out is the demonstration. Let me tell you this quick story before we transition into the reality of practical ministry to the sick. We met a woman a year ago, a mother of one of our students in our internship. I sat beside her at the Christmas dinner. And Janelle, I mean, if you want to come up and just play some soft music, that's fine. We won't do a worship song till the end, but I sat beside her at her Christmas dinner at the Sabai Thai restaurant. Beautiful woman. Her name is Lorelai. And we chatted, and she says to me, she starts telling me her story. She says, I beat cancer. I said, you did? She goes, yeah, by faith. Oh, now she's got me. I'm like, who are you? Jesse, why didn't you tell me about your mother before? He goes, yeah, I know. She's like an undercover bomb for Jesus. I'm like, whoa. Middle-aged woman, beautiful woman, just this petite but fiery woman of God. Sparkle in her eye, smile on her face. We had a great conversation. 6 months goes by. That was Christmas time, around this time last year. 6 or 7 months goes by. I don't much hear from them. I see them once in a while at the prayer house on a Tuesday, and I say hi to them. Everything's all good. And I happen to leave for the summer, but I guess what happened over the summer is the cancer came back. She was in remission, but that dirty lie from hell showed its face again. And when I caught back up with them, it was early November this fall. And I saw Jesse at the prayer house, and he was sitting there. I said, hey, man, how's your mom doing? Oh, if you guys could go see her, she's in the hospice. She would love it if some of you guys would come pray for her. And I'm like, oh, Jesse, I'm sorry to hear that. He's the youngest of three boys. He's 20. And she's his everything. He's the baby of the family, like my Caden. I say, yeah, we'll go. So I bring Clancy, one of our worshipers, acoustic player, and then I bring another person to come pray. Was it you, Marcy, that came? And we walk in, and I meet Jill, her husband. And he says, I'm not letting anybody in the room that doesn't have faith. Sweet, because we were wondering, like, you know, you want to be sensitive and it's a tender situation, and okay, we're going to go and sing over her, pray for her. And first time I went by myself, by the way, I saw her. She could barely move. It was so hard to see her. And her sister-in-law was there, and they're reading scriptures from Isaiah and declaring over that the cancer cells will turn in on themselves and eat themselves, according to scripture in Isaiah. And it was so powerful. Lorelai grabs my hand. She recognized me. She can't talk, really. She grabs my hand. She whips it over to her Bible, makes me pick up her Bible. She's in so much pain right now. And she grabs a Bible, and she makes me put it on her lap, and she just, she moves, and she gets up. She opens her eyes, flips the book to Job, the end of the book. And Job's latter days were better than his former years, and God restored everything 100-fold in his life. And she made me read it. She took my finger and she said, read it. That woman had so much faith. I've never seen a woman in all my life, or a person in all my life, going through what they're going through, round two, walking in that kind of faith for healing. She knew her God. Those who know their God will do great exploits. That's you. That's me. So we come back at the end of the day with the team, and we sing over her. There's a song called Beautiful Name, and it's all about, like, death has no hold, the resurrection power of God, and we're declaring this over her, and she's receiving this. And even though she's weak, she's receiving this. You can see it on her being. Jill is just so full of faith, and everybody's full of faith. They wouldn't even let some of their family in the room. There was fights that broke out with unsaved family members who wanted to say goodbye to her, but he wouldn't let them. He says, we're going to walk out of this hospice. I got our bags packed, and we're going to pray for everybody on this floor before we will leave the building. That was their declaration over her life. Well, a few weeks went by, and we went back. Some more people went back and prayed for her. But she didn't make it. And for 3 days, at her last breath, they prayed for the raising of the dead for Lorelai. You know, in Hebrew day, they believe that the spirit doesn't fully leave the premise or the area of the body until the third day, like Jesus when he was raised from the dead, right? Doesn't go to that place with the Lord until the third day. Afterwards. And so they stood on that. 9 hours. No, 9 people for 5 hours on day 2 after her passing, they prayed over her body. And on day 3, he spent 6 hours by himself at her side praying. And she didn't raise from the dead. Why am I telling you this? Because I sat with Jill on the 4th day, and his sister-in-law, and they were grieving, and it was real, but I looked at them, and I said, did cancer win? Did she receive her healing? And he looked at me, and I said, hell had no chance on her life. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, cancer, where is your victory? She is more alive today than she was in her mortal body, and she is laughing at the face of cancer because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, who holds the keys of death and hell, and says, cancer, you have no power over my daughter. And we laughed and we cried together because it's true. And I said, Jill, you helped this woman achieve the assignment and destiny of her life. And he goes, what was that? And I said, to receive the crown of life by resisting death, death of cancer attacks on her body, death of spiritual apathy, death, and death of being locked in a prison of death in this mortal body. To the very last day, you helped this woman achieve the goal of her life, which was faith that my God is healer. Because it's not about this life. It's about eternity. It's about eternity. And when you grasp that every time you lay hands on the sick to see them recover, that you're releasing resurrection and eternal power into them, you will know that that physical ailment has no chance, has zero chance of victory. And then in that moment, when you see them healed, you rejoice. But if you see a progressive healing, you rejoice. And if they didn't get beat, or they didn't beat in this life cancer, you rejoice because they beat it in the next life. And then the world will look at you and the world will say, who is your God that you have this kind of faith? And trust me, when he's ready, because remember, the gifts are circumstantial. So in his perfect timing, don't try to figure it out, please. Don't try to figure out when the revival is coming. You're going to get lost in it. Just get obsessed with faith that he's healer today. Faith that he heals tomorrow in the next life called eternity. And then the world will know God is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And don't try to be the anointing. Just try to be the vessel, please. When you start thinking you're the anointing, you get lost. You fail. But when you remember you're the vessel, you contain it. And so here's what I'd love to do. It's so practical. There's five simple things that I want to give you as tools that we can do right now. And we're going to do it really practically together. So maybe if you want to get in groups of four or five, okay, you can do this right now. I would invite you to do this. I want to teach you some very practical things to help you administer healing. And if you guys want to come in together in bigger groups, you can go across the room and find somebody you're comfortable being around. We're going to do this real simple. And I want to give you a takeaway. Five practical steps, a model for ministering to the sick. You know, it's crazy. I don't know why I shared this. I felt to share that story because we always share the story of the healing. I know the healings happen. I know they're happening everywhere. But man, if you could imagine the most challenging scenario like that and be able to walk up and stand up in victory still, you will never lose heart. You will always have an I can do attitude. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you'll never give up praying for the sick. Okay, so once you've found your groups, let's walk through this together, okay? So get settled. A little bit of murmuring, talking going on. Then get settled, and then we can still pay attention to what I'm saying while you're in your groups. I'll just give you another 10, 15 seconds to have a seat. And I'm going to leave these notes, okay, with your pastors, and they can continue on. They can give this out to you after you're done. It's real cool. Five simple things. It's going to sound super practical after a talk like this. But John Wimber was the first to demystify this work of healing. He's a very prophetic man. He operates in all the gifts, but he was like so believing that the last generation revival was going to be hundreds of thousands of Christians that he knew that it had to be practical and simple so that you could take it anywhere you go. And so welcome to John Wimber's Demystifying Healing 101, five simple steps to healing. Let's try it out and let's begin to practice this. I'll tell you the five steps first. The first step. Hi, can I pray for you? Is there anything sick in your body? Do a little interview. Really normal. Hey, I'm Sarah. Looks like you're in pain. Do you think I could pray for you? What is it? You ask. You introduce yourself and you ask. Number two, you make a diagnosis. You're a doctor. But you assess the situation. This overlaps with step one. You ask on a natural level, but then you ask the Holy Spirit in this step number two. You say, Holy Spirit, they just said they've got pain in their shoulder, but are you saying anything? And here's how you're going to hear God's voice, the Holy Spirit. You ready? He might give you a mental picture of something. It's a clue. He might give you a knowing. You don't have words to explain it. You just know. You might hear a still small voice inside of you connected to Scripture. Any of these could be connected, should be connected to Scripture, by the way. He might show you a Bible character or a scenario of healing. Or he might, you might get a feeling. What if they said it's their shoulder, but you get a sympathetic pain in your lower left back? And you're like, oh, that's not me. And then you ask them, did you have an accident and you jarred your back? Something weird like that, or is there something down here on your back? Well, actually, yeah. Well, I think that's why your shoulder's hurting. So we're going to pray for that, and then we'll see this healed. Do you guys understand? So you're going to ask the Holy Spirit a question for the diagnosis. Number three, you're going to figure out how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Oh, wait, that's the wrong prayer. Shoot. You're going to pray. These are some ways you can pray. Really simple, okay? Select what kind of prayer God wants you to give. Example, Lord, how do you want to heal or minister to this person, okay? You can even say it out loud. Let's ask God how he wants to minister to you right now. And then maybe you're going to just pray in tongues. Maybe that's how he selects you're going to pray. Maybe he wants you to do what Jesus did when he broke bread. He raised his hands for heaven and he said, God, thank you. Thank you that they're going to be healed. Prayers with thanksgiving. Maybe he's going to ask you to stand in the gap. That's called intercession. God, I stand in the gap for this person right now, and in Jesus' name, I ask you to minister. Maybe it's for a person like that's not present with you that they ask for prayer for. That's a great example of a time to do intercession. Or maybe you have to do a declaration, a command, like in Acts 3:6. Rise up in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Maybe you're going to make a pronouncement of faith. God has forgiven you. Your faith has made you healed, like Jesus did. Or maybe you're going to need to rebuke a devil called cancer, or you're going to need to bind something or expel something to see that healing happen. Because all throughout the New Testament, healings were both just the physical body needing it, as well as they were sometimes demonic. So you need to find out. Are we okay, Jaron, for the mic there? Step 4, pray. Do the prayer. Get engaged. So here's what you do. Janine, come here. Can I use you as an example? So you don't want to go up behind them. Hi, my name's Sarah. You just want to be really supernaturally natural. Hi, you get in front of them, okay? My name's Sarah. Can I pray for you today? Do you need healing for something? Okay, awesome. Make eye contact with them. Pray for them with your eyes open. Why? You got to be able to see if something's changing. Their arm's growing out. You're like, God, no, I know it's not growing out, but grow it out right now in Jesus' name. But it's growing out, you know, but you can't see it. Sometimes we pray over people that have imbalance. Is there anybody in the room that has one leg shorter than the other that they know of off the top of their head? Gentleman in the red. Do you need a miracle of healing on your leg? I can't see what's going on back there, I'm assuming. Oh, his left leg. Yeah, amen. So it's definitely shorter right now than the other one. But you need to have your eyes open. You need to, this is very important. God says, don't despise the days of small beginnings. Bless them as I bless them right now, the work that you're doing, Lord. Thank you for whatever measure you're doing right now. That's so important. Be faithful in the small and he'll do more. Watch for clues. Monitor the emotional or physical sensations that you're gathering. Okay, here's a quick story. One of our teachers, I was pulling apart our trampoline. You gotta yank on those things when you're weak like me, those springs to get them off. Threw my back right out. Like in 1 second, threw it out. Felt a pop, and my whole rib felt like it shifted. It was crazy. And I had extreme pain. I couldn't bend over. There was an encounter night at prayer. I went up to the speaker and I said, hey, can you pray for my back? He goes, okay. So he does this. Turn around, Jenny. He lays hand on the spot where I feel pain. And he's praying. He's literally blessing. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Holy Spirit, move. Thank you that you're moving. Heal the back. I'll realign the muscles, the bones, the whatever. I don't feel a pop. I don't feel anything. I start to feel cool. Icy cool. And I'm Eddie, I feel cool. He goes, what? He goes, I feel burning hot. And I was like, what? And then in that moment, I literally felt that rib readjust and move back into place. And I went, whoa. And then I bent the way I couldn't bend before. And that's the next step. You gauge. That's the last step. The step number 4 part. You find out their response. You dialogue with the individual. On a scale of 1 to 10, is there a 1 improvement, a 2, a 3, a 4, or a 10? And they'll tell you. And then you say, would you like us to pray for you more? And they say yes or they say no, and you go based on that. It is important to bring a number 5, lastly, a conclusion to the time of healing. If they don't want you to pray for them anymore, thank you so much. Talk to you later. Or maybe you need to dial down and say, Holy Spirit, are we done here right now? Because you don't want to do it in the flesh, right? Okay, there's a difference between being new and immature, because you will do it in your natural self and God will be on it. But when you start to get too confident, you don't want to push it farther than what the Holy Spirit's saying. So just check with them and you'll know. You'll know. Or maybe you run out of things to say. It's a natural conclusion to the end, right? Or maybe you've prayed and you haven't gotten anywhere. So at that point, you just say, God, what do you want to do next? And you close it out if they want to close it out, and you be done. So can we do that? Okay. So look in your group. Thanks, Janine. Look in your group and just discuss among yourselves. Does anybody need physical healing in their body? So just check right now. Okay, if you're in a group and nobody needs physical healing, put your hand up, because I want you to disperse among other groups. Is there any group that does not have a need of physical healing? Okay, everybody has a need. All right. All right, so you've introduced yourself. You're saying hi. Hi, my name is. What can I pray for? This is the natural diagnosis. Okay, now as a group, you've identified somebody. If you've identified somebody, put your hand up if you're good to go in your group. Everybody has somebody to pray for? There's one person in every group that's going to be prayed over. Is that correct? Give me a hand up if you, okay, one, two. Hand up if you've got somebody to pray for, physical healing. Okay, everybody does. Okay, step two, diagnose. Those, and including the person being prayed over, close your eyes. Turn inward to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, is this the main thing you want to touch? Or is there something underneath that? Is there a root cause or a different part of their body this is related to? Is there a generational curse we need to break off? You just say, I break that generational curse in Jesus' name and release you from all the curses and assignments of physical curses in Jesus' name. If somebody gets something where you feel like there's a forgiveness situation, please be tender about it. Don't embarrass the person, okay? What you do is you say, I could be off. This could be totally off and I could be wrong, but maybe that you need to release forgiveness towards your mom or your dad or whoever, because this is causing that irritable bowel. This is causing that thing that you're battling with. Please be sensitive about that. And just to remember, there's not always a root cause that needs to be dealt with. Just check with the Holy Spirit. I'll give you a minute to discuss that. Check. Oh, good. It's working. Okay. Once you've done that, you might have moved on already. How are you praying for them? Are you praying in tongues? Are you prayers with thanksgiving? Are you making declarations? Be healed. Rise up. The Lord has forgiven you. Your faith has made you whole. Are you needing to rebuke or bind or expel? That's very simple. If you feel like it's demonic-based infirmities on their body, You speak to the name of the infirmity. For example, I speak to the demon of carpal tunnel. In Jesus' name, I command it to loose its grip on your wrist, and I tell it to go in Jesus' name. Really simple, okay? So if there is a need for a demonic rebuking or expelling, that's how you do it. And then, of course, step four, you've already been praying, so you stop and you gauge. How effective have our prayers been? Do you see any visible changes? Is there something they couldn't do before that they could try to do that would demonstrate a visible healing or a change for pain? So you want to ask them, can you move your arm this way, that way? Has the pain level gone down? Is it, you know, in terms of healing, are you fully healed? Like a 10? Are you an 8, a 7? If there's other directives the Holy Spirit has given you, now would be the time to apply those things. Ask them if they can continue to pray. Can we continue to pray over you for greater measure? Thank the Lord for the percentage that they do have, and keep praying. Now, you may be wanting to do the interview process a few times repeatedly. Has there been any change? Has there been any difference? If they want you to continue to pray, you can. Or if you're feeling that the Lord's saying that's all for now, whenever you're closing out the prayer, you want to bless their body. Thank the Lord for the continued healing or the miracle of healing that's coming for them. Declare them healed in the name of Jesus by his stripes. Bless their bodies and just leave them with a sense of expectation and faith. That's what you need to do. And you're welcome to pray for somebody else in the group if there's another person. And our team, you can wander around and just gauge or check if they have any questions. If you have a direct question and you want to come up to me, you're welcome to do that. I see some smiles, some differences, some changes. Amen, amen. Why don't you come up here, that group over there, and come tell me what happened. We can share. You want to give a testimony? You want to give a testimony? No? You can tell me, and then I can share. Is there anybody that wants to give a small or short testimony of a healing? There was one man over here that had an increase of movement where he didn't have it before in his shoulder. He can move forward this direction, and he couldn't do that very well before. He said he almost stayed home tonight because he was in so much pain, and he almost gave up coming tonight, but he came, and he has a release of muscle tension down the right side of his rib cage. And so God is doing a measure of healing in his life. So thank you, God, for that work. Is there anybody else that wants to give testimony? We're going to sing one more song to close the evening. If you have any questions after, you can do that. You can come and approach any of us to talk to us. You can continue to pray if you want to, but we're going to close with a beautiful name, I think it is.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, for what you're doing in this place. We just bless it. We ask for continued touches of your presence right now. You complete what you've began. In Jesus' name. All right. We are going to formally close for the night, but if you're still ministering to one another, I want to encourage you to continue to do that. Continue to pray for one another. Share testimonies about what God is doing. If you still need prayer, we'd love to connect with you guys. We'd love to pray over you before you head out for the night. And just a couple quick reminders before I formally close. We're back with you guys tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. again. So we'll see you then. As well, we brought some product at the back to continually equip and train you guys. Like Sarah mentioned, there's a teaching that she does on the 5 spiritual senses. We have a book about God's relentless pursuit over you. So if you're curious about any of those things, come chat with us at the back. But otherwise, we'll see you guys in the morning.
Just if you want to give a donation to help with the costs of bringing these wonderful people here, there's that blue box that says donations on it, or you can bring it tomorrow. Let's just bless them. Amen.
When you worship incense that rises day and night. Now my life is devoted for my heart is set on fire. A consuming devotion to the love that saved my life. My heart's burning, burning, burning with love. A sweet aroma, a fragrance, an offering of love. My heart's burning, burning, burning with love. A sweet aroma, a fragrance, an offering of love. Now I'm seeking
Thank you. Behold. is none like you. There's none like you. Beautiful yourself ready. Throw down the idols, I make myself ready. And remove everything that hinders love.
Moment take. Lord, you chose me before the world was made, forming me, calling me by name. Lord, you chose me before the world was made.
Your treasure.